Jake mentioned in his prayer about Jesus coming to the earth, and we sang about that in our songbook, why Jesus loved us so much that he came from heaven and came to earth. And Carlin mentioned that in the Lord's Supper. Have you ever thought about not just what Jesus did while he was on the earth for us and dying for our sins, but have you ever thought about how he acted while he was on the earth, away from his home? Have you ever considered Jesus as he left his home? Turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 31. This morning I want us to talk about how we act when we are away from home. And I think about Jesus coming from heaven, his heavenly home. How did he act while he was away from home? John chapter 3, verse 31, He that cometh from above is above all. He that is on the earth is of the earth, and of the earth he speaketh. He that cometh from heaven is above all. What he hath seen and hath heard, of that he beareth witness, and no man receiveth his witness. He that hath received his witness hath this his seal set that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure. When Jesus ascended from above and came to the earth, what did he do? He spoke the words of God, verse 34. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When Jesus came from heaven, he left the riches of heaven to come to the poverty of earth, and he acted according to God's will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for we know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich while he was in heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor. He came to the poverty of the earth, that through his poverty you might become rich. Turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Philippians, beginning in verse 5, Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5, when Jesus left heaven, how did he act while he was on the earth? He left his home to come to earth. He had no earthly dwelling place. He said on one occasion, the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. He came to a poor environment. He spoke God's word. He was obedient to God. That's how he acted while he was away from home. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, he's in heaven, verse 6, but he counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. What was he doing when he was away from home? Speaking God's word, being obedient to God. And he's a great example for us. I want to talk a little bit this morning about being away from home. Have you ever thought about the situations in life that take us away from home? I remember in the summer of 1984 getting in a car with a friend of mine that we had been in church services together growing up through the years, and we go off to college several hundred miles away. First time being away from home. There are different situations in life which would cause us to leave home. And when you look at society, sometimes the message is, when you leave home, that's a time to live it up. That's not what Jesus did. And that's not what we find godly people doing, as we'll see this morning. It may be traveling. Maybe our work takes us away from home. People sometimes will leave home. They might leave a spouse or family to go off and work for a few weeks or a few months. Some go off and join the military. They're away from home. We have individuals here who've done that. Maybe schooling takes them away from home. Of course, we think about college and going off to college, or maybe even a vacation. How do we act when we are away from that environment in which we were raised for so many years? How do we act? I want us to look at some godly examples this morning of individuals, and most of them, if not all of them, would be considered young individuals, and how they were faithful to the Lord, with the exception of one. We'll look at one negative example. But how are we supposed to act when we are away from home? Mom and dad's not there. the spouse is not there. Someone that was our maybe authoritative figure is no longer there. The rules and the guidance and all of those types of things are no longer mentioned on a daily basis. How do we act? Well, we're supposed to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We need to put God first. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. We need to go back to God always, no matter where we're at. And really, when we're away from home, it can be a time of trial. It can be a time of testing. It can be a time of temptation. The devil is going to use that to get us to fall away from God, but it can also be a great opportunity to serve the Lord. It depends on how we use that. It can become a disaster where we have trouble spiritually, or it can become a great time to serve the Lord and put God first. There are some examples in the Old and New Testament that I would like for us to consider this morning to encourage us that we can act right when we're away from home. And we can put God first. Not to put Larry on the spot, but you know, there was a time when Bob and Sarah Bain were here, and if I get the chronology right, Larry had already gone off to college and had come back, and his parents are here. But then there's a time when they're no longer here. And look at Larry this morning. He's still faithful, still serving the Lord, been away from home many, many years. He brought that value with him. He brought those rules with him. He brought that Christianity with him, those things that his parents taught him. And here we find him in the church many years later. That's the way it's supposed to be. We take those values and the Word of God that we were raised with, and we bring that with us all through life. We continue to put God first. Let's look at some examples this morning of individuals who were away from home and they remained strong spiritually. With the exception of one example, we find they remained strong spiritually. And it's a good example for us this morning on how that we are supposed to act. You know, there are Christians here this morning, in addition to Larry, that they leave mom and dad, and they continue being faithful to the Lord all through their life. And so, what can we learn from this? There may be something coming up in our life where we're taking that next phase, that next step of life, where we're leaving home. Sometimes it might be marriage. It might be these other things that we've mentioned, and we're going out on our own. How can we put God first? Well, let's turn to the Old Testament. The first individual that I think of is a young 17-year-old named Joseph. You know, Joseph was raised in the land of Canaan. He was raised an Israelite, and he was raised in that environment. He was raised worshiping the Lord, and then one day his brothers decide to sell him as a slave to the Midianites, who take him down into Egypt, and now we find him away from home. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. We find a young 17-year-old away from home. Is this an opportunity to cut up and act up and have a good time and become worldly? No, we find that when those trials and those temptations come in his life, that he remains true to the Lord. And so you and I, when we step away from home, we can do that. We can be strong. Number one, we need to be strong by remaining true to God's Word and the values upon which you were raised. Your parents raised you with godly values, and they raised you on God's Word. If you take that with you, you can stay strong spiritually. Of course, we know the story in Genesis chapter 39 where Potiphar's wife, Joseph, had been working with Potiphar and had been in his house and serving him. And he's slowly rising in leadership roles and popularity. He doesn't let that go to his head. Sherry and I have been talking about this recently with regard to sometimes we find this in the case of athletes or maybe Hollywood stars or music stars. They get out on their own and they get a little fame and it goes to their head. They get a little proud. You know, they get a little haughty. They get a little mighty. And you know, I'm out here
And I'm out here on my own, and I've got some popularity and a following, and I'm just going to act any way I want. And so you have the alcohol and the sexual fornication and that kind of thing. I think a lot of it stems to this attitude of sort of like entitlement, you know? This is a rite of passage. I've got my freedom, and so freedom means I can do what I want, and I've got a little power here and popularity, and people like me, and look at who I am. And then they just start acting ungodly. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph was prospering. Okay? Chapter 39, verse 2. And he's gaining in his role and in his popularity and in his leadership. But he remains true to the values upon which he was raised. And so when Potiphar's wife comes to him, he refused and said unto the master's wife, verse 8, "Behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath put all that he hath into my hand." Here's the power now. Here's the leadership. And he could have said, "Well, I'm out on my own, and now I've got a role that has some authority to it, and I'm just going to indulge in this." No, we find that he does not do that. Verse 9, "He is not greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me." Joseph could have been proud and haughty and "I've got power and prestige," but no, he remained true to God's word. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I'm away from my home. I'm down here in Egypt, but God is still with me. I am away from my home, but God is not away from me. I'm going to remember the values upon which I was raised, and we can be strong. You see, he was raised to believe in God. He was raised to follow God. He was raised on God's word. And this would be wrong. He was clearly taught that that relationship is between a husband and a wife. And I am not going to do this. And notice verse 9, wickedness. He knew that it would be wicked. He was taught values, right and wrong, truth and error, godliness and wickedness. He had to know the difference between those two. And he brought those things with him when he left. We can remain strong when we remain true to God's word and the values upon which we are raised. Our parents raise us on those things, and we're happy and blessed to have parents. I was raised with those values. There were times when I was away from home, and those trials and those temptations would come, and I could remember something my father said or my mother said, and that helped me to stay on the right track. And I remain true to those things that are found in the Word of God. And so she kept pressing him day by day, verse 10, but he would not give in. And so he finally just runs off. We know the story. I'm not going to engage in this immorality. Number one, we can remain strong when we remain true to God's Word and the values upon which we are raised. And here's this young 17-year-old. I say that because of chapter 37, verse 2. This young 17-year-old is remaining true to God's word and the values upon which he was raised. Let us do that. Dave talks about going off into the military, and others have mentioned those things. It's a very wicked environment, very, very terrible environment in many kinds of way. There's alcohol, there's fornication, there's a profanity, all that kind of thing. Whatever it is that takes us away from home, and it may just be the next stage in life. It may not be anything particularly special, just moving on like we do. Remain true to God's word and the values upon which you were raised. The lessons that were taught you in the Bible classes when you were young, your Bible class teachers, what the elders said, what the preacher has said, what the Bible class teachers have said, what faithful brethren have said to you, all of that is for a point and for a purpose, to take it with you, and you can remain strong. But we can also remain strong when we are devoted to God over all others. Turn with me to the book of Ruth. We find a young woman named Ruth who was raised in the land of Moab. She was raised outside of the sphere of God's influence. She was raised among the Moabites, where there would be idolatry and things outside of God's word. But by God's providence, she comes in contact with a Jewish family
who raised her on the one true God. In Ruth chapter 1, there's a man named Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and they had two sons, and they moved to Moab. They came into the country of Moab, Ruth 1 verse 2, and those two sons married two Moabite women. And by the way, through marriage and through contact like that, we can actually come in contact with people in the world and convert them to the right way. And so here's Ruth, who's brought to the Lord by God's providence through a godly family. And so when the husband dies, we know the story there in chapter 1, the husband dies and the two sons die. Naomi wants to go back home. And when she goes back home, she tells her daughters-in-law, "You stay. I don't have any more sons to give you. You marry people of your own." One of them stays. Orpha, verse 14, Orpha stays. But Ruth clave to her. And then we pick up the reading in Ruth 1. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back." Naomi speaking to Ruth, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her God," small g. "Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee and to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And that's exactly what happened. So she goes back with Naomi. They go back into the land of Canaan, and she marries Boaz. And look at the end of the chapter. She becomes a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Because she said, I want your God to be my God. She becomes one of the women in the lineage of Christ now. It's because of her devotion to God over all others. I'm not going to go back to the comfortable way of life. I'm willing to leave and take God with me. You have taught me about God, and I want to continue to have that in my life. I don't want to go back to the comfortable way. I don't want to go back to what I'm used to. I don't want to go back to any old God. Any old God is not good enough for me. God, small g, that's not good enough for me. You see, we have to be like that. When I find the truth of the one true God, I'm going to stay devoted to that over all others. I'm not going to take the path of ease. I'm not going to take the path that is comfortable. I'm going to go out. And what is beautiful about this whole story is look at the very last verse of the book of Judges and look at the very first verse of the book of Ruth. This is a very dark period in Israel's history, and we have a bright light shining in Ruth. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And it came to pass in the days when the judges judged. This is a very dark period of time when people are doing anything they want, and this young woman says, "No, I'm going to do what is right." And Boaz is a man who says, "No, I'm going to do what is right." Ruth is a picture of light in the midst of darkness. Being devoted to God when many people around you are just doing whatever they want. Isn't that America in many ways in our world? We can stay strong. So she leaves her home, Moab, and goes to Canaan and lives there. And through her, look at the end of the book of Ruth, we find chapter 4, verse 17, "And the woman and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, 'This is a son born to Naomi,' and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." And you read Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, Ruth is mentioned there in the lineage of Christ. It goes all the way down to Jesus Christ. Why? Because a young woman left her comfort zone, left what she's familiar with, left what would be easy to do, and went out and stayed true to God. We can be strong when we leave home. You know, I think of Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel was raised in
land of Canaan, raised around Jerusalem, raised in the area of worshiping God, the one true God. And then here comes the Babylonian captivity, and the Babylonians want to take some young Jewish youths who are bright and intelligent and bring them to Babylon and train them in the Babylonian ways. So hundreds of miles away, he goes from Jerusalem all the way up to Babylon. And what is it for him? It's a time to have a good time, right? Live it up. It's spring break. It's, you know, spring break in Babylon. We're going to have a good time. Live any way we want. No, we find that all many, many miles away from home, he stayed strong because of resolve to do good. And number two, to maintain the good habits that you were given when you were in and at home. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, and he carried them away into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring in certain of the children of Israel, even of the seed royal, of the nobles, youths in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and endued with knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, and that he should teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." I'm going to take the smart and bright people of Judah. Let's get the brightest and the smartest of the young people and bring them up to Babylon, and they can help us be bright and smart up there. Pretty good plan. Get the ones with the high IQ. Get the ones with the that look nice and have a great intelligence, and we'll bring them up and train them in our ways, and they can serve us in leadership capacities and teaching and other kinds of things. Very smart. And Daniel was among them. That's neat. That's neat to be a young person like that. And God gives you a mind, and God gives you an intelligence, but you need to use it in His service. So when He gets up there, look at chapter 1 and verse 8. They're going to begin to indoctrinate them in the Babylonian ways. And some of that has to do with eating things that would be wrong for a Jew to eat, according to the law of Moses. So how did Daniel remain successful? Hundreds of miles away from home, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. You just make up your mind that this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen to me. You say in your mind, I am not going to become weak and worldly. And it doesn't. It with that resolve. But if we don't have the resolve, then it just slowly falls apart. Resolve is a very strong and powerful thing that we can have. So he purposed in his heart. And you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, chapter 3, verse 18, they did the same thing. They had already planned that we're not going to bow down. So turn over to chapter 3 and verse 8. When they made the idol there to bow down there in Babylon, the false god, the idol, Daniel's friends, the Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, Daniel's friends refused to worship it. And look at verse 18. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods." That's resolve. We're just not going to do it. And young people can have that kind of resolve, and older as well. We're just going to say no. And as a result, they're thrown into the fiery furnace, and God protects them. We can remain strong hundreds of miles away from home with a resolve to be good and follow God's word. And then number two, keep maintaining the good habits that were given to you at home. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. I was thinking recently about a lesson. It's hard to break good habits. The expression is that we use a lot, it's hard to break a bad habit. Well, it's also hard to break a good habit. And look at chapter 6 and verse 10. When Daniel prayed, it was as he had always done. That's the way he was raised growing up. And so he's not going to stop now. Look, when they were told, "You cannot pray to your God," chapter 6, verse 10, "and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his windows were opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem." Look back to where you came from. That's not accident. His windows were open to Jerusalem. Look back to where you came from and always stay grounded in that. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God before his God. Underscore this in your Bible. As he did aforetime. This is what he had always done. When you're away from home, keep praying as you always prayed at home. Keep reading your Bible as you always read your Bible at home. Keep attending worship services as you always did at home. You maintain those good habits, you can stay strong. Daniel just didn't pop up one day and say, "Well, you know, I think I'm going to start praying." He had always done that. And he had always looked back to where he came from. And worshiped the one true God as his friends did as well. With that resolve. Resolve to be good. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And it didn't happen. We have to have that resolve and that purpose. And then number 2, he and his friends maintained the good habits that they'd always had growing up. And that is, I'm going to worship the one true God. I'm going to pray. And we could add to that reading God's Word. Young Timothy was raised from a babe on the Scriptures. We're going to keep reading our Bible when we're away from home. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep worshiping God on the first day of the week and when the local church near us has those assemblies, and we're going to stay strong. Well, we can stay strong also. I think about an unnamed young maiden. We don't know her name. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about a young woman who had been taken from her home. She was raised in Israel. And she was taken up north of Israel, up into Syria, just northern Palestine. And she was serving a Syrian captain there named Naaman. And notice what we are told about this young lady. Sometimes women today in this issue of what can women do in the church and leadership roles and stuff like that, godly women can do great things. And one thing they can do is tell others about God in the right way. You remember, we know the story of this man named Naaman. And he was leprous. He had leprosy. Now look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him Jehovah had given victory unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. So that's going to be a big problem, to have that skin disease. And the Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maiden, and she waited on Naaman's wife. From time to time, the northern kingdom of Israel got defeated by the Syrians because they weren't living right. Ahab and Jezebel and those kind of people. And so God would allow Syria to come in and take people away. And they took out this young girl, a little maiden, and she's captive, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now she's up in Syria. She's away from home. And she said unto her mistress, "Would that my lord, Naaman, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, then would he recover him of his leprosy." This young woman remembered how the prophets could work miracles in the name of the Lord. And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maiden that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he eventually meets up with Elisha, and his leprosy is removed when he does what Elisha tells him to do. How did that come about? I wish my Lord could be with that prophet down there in Israel. Tell people about God. Tell people about the right way. Link them, put them together with the truth. Put them together with what's going to help them. So if we will stay active in telling others about God and His Word in the right way, and people that are lost, people that are floundering, people that have no direction, let me tell you about the prophet, if you will. Let me tell you about God's Word. That'll help us to stay strong. You see, it's not just a matter of being on the defense. I'm not going to do what is wrong when I'm away from home. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. It's also about positive things. I am going to do this. I am going to continue my good habits of praying and reading my Bible and worshiping. And I'm also going to actively tell others about how that they can come to know the truth of the one true God.
There were plenty of false prophets around who couldn't do anything, but Elisha could. And I wish my Lord knew about him. And of course, that's what happens. And he is cleansed of his leprosy. Tell others about God and the right way. Turn with me to the book of Esther, in Esther chapter 4. We can remain strong if we will act upon our courage and be strong spiritually and stand up for what is right and good and save others and help others. I know that Esther was most likely born and raised in Persia. The story of Esther takes place in Persia. But she comes from a group of people, the Jews, who were taken there away from their homeland. And so in that sense, she knows that she is away from home. Her and her people came from Israel. They were brought there because of the Babylonian captivity. And from Babylon, some of them were taken into different Persian cities. And so the story of Esther takes place, as we find in Esther chapter 1 and following, in the palace of Shushan. This is Persia. But this is a young woman, a Jew, who's raised by Mordecai, a Jew, and they've been taken there from the Babylonian captivity. Turn with me to Esther chapter 2, verse 5. Esther 2, verse 5. There was a certain Jew in Shushan, the palace, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, look at it, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives that had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther. Yes, I know that she's probably born and raised in Persia, but her people come from another place. This is not where they're from. And she wants to help the Jews that have come, those who have grown up there, those who have come from Jerusalem. When Haman wants to destroy Mordecai and his people, Esther stands up and saves them. And she could have said, well, you know, I don't know anything about that Jerusalem thing. That's my ancestors. You know, I've got a good life here in Persia. I'm a queen. She acted upon her courage. So when Mordecai tells her of the plot, he had heard from Haman about this plot, and he relays it to Esther. Turn with me to Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. Then Mordecai bade them return answer unto Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Mordecai believed in the providence of God that if Esther wouldn't do it, somebody would do it. But thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is your time. Stand up and use it. We don't need to squander our days. We have limited number of days. This is our time to stand up and count and be different. And I would say that for all of us, brethren. We have one life to live, and there are all kinds of bad things. There are all kinds of Hamans in the world. All kinds of bad things going on. Stand up and do what we can to stem the tide of the evil that is around us. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return answer unto Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner, and so I will come unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. The law was you cannot approach the king unless you've been invited. And she hadn't been invited. But I'm gonna go there anyway. And if I perish, I perish. That's courage, brethren. And that's what saves her people. And the story unfolds, as you know, how that Haman is actually killed and the Jews are saved. Be courageous. This is our time, is what Mordecai is saying. And act upon it. You are in a position, young lady. You are in a position to do something. Now do it. And what a great advice from Mordecai. And what a great courage on her point. Be courageous. If I perish, I perish. Say what is right, do what is right, act what is right, even when others around you aren't.
to stem the tide of evil that is around you. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. We can stay strong if we will not waste the good that others have worked hard to give you. Do you know what is the best thing for a person? The absolute best thing is for them to work. Work. I remember one time in high school, I had the car, and I was, we called it peeling out, you know, peel out. Give it the gas. Dad said one time, he said to me, he saw me do that, he said, look, when you buy your own tires, you can spin all the rubber off of it you want. But when I'm putting tires on this car, you don't do that. I didn't do it anymore. I wasn't thinking. Yeah, it's easy to spin the rubber off of Dad's tires. He's the one putting tires on. And you know what? When I got married, you know, I'm working, I get married, I don't spin the tires anymore. I haven't spun tires since 1988 when I got married. I haven't spun the tires. I don't do that. Because I'm paying for it. I'm working for it. You appreciate what you work for. But when somebody else gives it to you, boy, that's kind of easy to waste it, isn't it? And that's what we find here. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. The father gives the son his inheritance, and he goes off and wastes it. And that's typically what we do. It's easy. And Dad said that. He said that to us. We'd leave lights on. He said, look, I'm the one paying for the electricity. And as long as I'm paying for it, you don't waste it. You turn the lights off. Now, when you start paying for your own electricity, if you want to leave lights on and leave this running and leave that running, that's your business if you want to waste your money. But as long as I'm paying for it, you're not going to do that. That's one of the best lessons you can teach a person. But when we don't work and we're just spending other people's money, boy, woo, just money going everywhere. And this young man gets his father's inheritance. And not many days after, boy, it doesn't take long to blow somebody else's money. Not many days after, I got to get out and spend that. The younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And whether we're talking about actual money or, look, listen, values. Maybe somebody gave you values. Don't waste those. Certainly don't waste money, but don't waste what others have worked hard to give you. Parents work hard to give their children things. Don't go blow that. All of the trips to church services, all of the sacrifices to read the Bible and become a Christian and others, that takes work, and that's been handed to you. Don't go blow it. And we can stay strong if we will not waste what others have given us. Sometimes, brethren, talk about sacrifices that preachers make. And there are a lot of those. Sherry knows about that with her parents. But there are sacrifices that all brethren make for their children and for others. And not maybe you don't have children. Maybe you're making sacrifices for others, other family members or other people. And if we will take that and appreciate that and go out, then we will stay strong. Otherwise, we won't. And so we know how the story ends up. He ends up sitting with the pigs, and he had to come to himself. Verse 17, when he came to himself, that's one of the best parts of this story. We've got to have a coming to ourself moment. You know, I've been wasting what somebody else has given me. And so he saw that he needed to go back home. All of these examples this morning are positive. This is the only negative one. This is the only don't. And I'm sure we've all been guilty of wasting some things that our parents have given us. But we need to have I came to myself moment and come back and not do that anymore. And so think about what's been given to you. And we think about money, not just money. You know, habits have been given to you. Values have been given to you. Listen to this. A reputation, a name. Using Larry again. He was given Bob Bunting's name. When I grew up, I heard a lot about the Buntings, different of them preaching different parts of the world. He can go out and blow that. Larry can blow that and just squander it and waste it, that name. Or he can hold true to it, which I believe he's done. So it's not just money. It's values, it's habits, it's your reputation, your name. Proverbs 22:1, a good name. Your character. Don't go wasting that and blowing that. And I think about young Timothy as we come to the close of our lesson. We can remain strong if we will stay active, sacrificing and serving in the Lord's work. Stay active in the local church. Stay active as a Christian. Stay active in your personal work and talking with others. Do you remember in Acts chapter 16 where Paul... This is interesting. I would find this interesting if I were a parent and I had some children. And Paul comes through town and he says, I'd like to take Mason with me, or Jake, or Carly. I want him to go with me. I'd be a parent. Well, okay. It'd be a little different. The Apostle Paul wants to take one of my kids on a trip. You'd feel a little uneasy about that. But back in Acts chapter 14 and verse 8, Paul had gone to Lystra. Well, a church was started there, and brethren were converted in Acts 14 verse 8 when Paul went to Lystra. Now come to chapter 16 and verse 1. He comes back to that area, and he came to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there. There's a Christian there, and his name was Timothy, and he wanted to take him on a trip. This is a young man. He grows up in Lystra, but then he finds himself traveling the world with Paul. What kind of a person is this? Woo, I get to go with Paul on a trip. We're going to have a good time. No, Timothy, there is nothing but positive said about him in the Scripture. He always sacrifices and serves. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. I believe the success of Timothy when he left home and went with Paul was found right here. I'm going to put Christ first and serve Him. Philippians 2:19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded. I don't have anyone like this young man. This guy is awesome. What about him? Who will care truly for your sake? He was a caring person. Selfless, for they all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, this Timothy. He was tested and proved that as a child serveth a father, so he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. This is a young man who stays active serving the Lord. On one occasion, Paul said to Timothy, I want you to stay in Ephesus and appoint elders. Well, wait a minute, that's not my home. I live in Lystra. I'm over here in Ephesus doing what Paul wants me to do. 1 Timothy 1:3. He was always sacrificing and serving for the Lord, and he stayed strong. Nothing but good is said about Timothy in Scripture. What a great thing. We can stay strong, brethren. There are going to be times when we go out and we can stay strong. I asked Eric if he would read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 9, because Paul said that one day we can be at home with the Lord. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We have a physical home. Yes, we're born and raised in a certain town. But we want to go home and be with Jesus. And the way we can do that is we need to be like Joseph. We need to remain true to God's word and the values upon which we were raised. Be like Ruth. Be devoted to God no matter where you go. Your God will be my God, and I'm going to be true to Him. Be like Daniel and his friends that had that resolve to be good and maintain good habits away from home. Be like Naaman's young maiden, that young girl who told him about the prophet down in Israel and how that he could be helped by him. Tell others about God in the right way. Act upon your courage like Esther. Don't waste the good things that others have worked hard to give you. And be like Timothy. Stay active, sacrificing and serving in the Lord. One of the things that helped me when I went away from home was to be with brethren every first day of the week, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the doors were open for a gospel meeting, those brethren kept me strong, and I was hundreds of miles away from home.
So seek out those faithful brethren that they're going to help us remain strong and be sacrificing and serving. Be an active Christian no matter where you are. It may be work taking us away, travel, schooling, vacation. It might just be temporary away from home, a day or two or a week or two on vacation. Whatever the case might be, we're going to remain true to the Lord. I hope that this has helped you. We want to remain faithful to the Lord when we're away from home. So like Paul said, one day we can be at home in heaven with Christ because we've been faithful through our life. There may be someone here this morning that needs to begin that faithful journey, and you can come and obey the Lord this morning. We studied in our Bible class. It's pretty easy. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's not complicated. It's not a 10-page, small type, you know, single-spaced test there that has to be passed. It's pretty easy. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But we have to have that commitment and that resolve, that repentance that moves us toward that. And if we can assist you in that, we want to do that. And for the rest of us this morning, let us remain faithful no matter where we are. Let us be true to the Lord. Let us serve Him to the best of our ability. If we can help you in some way, making your life right with God, why won't you come as we stand and sing?